when I was 15, my initial experience with sex was having sex with this girl under the altar of the church. And she got pregnant. And a boy was born. He was adopted to a fairly wealthy family in Portland. And his name was Zach. Well, about 14 years ago, I guess, you know, I knew I'd probably never have kids. And I've always felt rather guilty. So I found out where Zach was, and he found out he was out here on the streets here in Portland. And so I came out here, and I knew he'd be around. He's just out here hustling. And I intentionally looked for him. And I remember he came skating up and asked me for some food. It's the first time I saw him. You know, I recognized him because my parents sent me pictures. So for 8 years, he was in and out of here. He never knew who I was. He just knew I was his friend. And he would be down here working, go up to Portland and work on the streets, and was deeply into speed. As the years moved on, I watched him go from about 12 or so, 13 on the streets, to being like the typical street kid, pretty unworkable and pretty needy. And we had this, you know, relationship I have with most of the guys out here where they trusted me, depended on me. You know, it was hard watching what happened with him. But, you know, I also took care of him. And so, I mean, I did the best I could with him. I remember one time he came over to me up on speed for days, and he wanted to lay down somewhere where he could lay down, because every time he lay down at someone else's house, he'd get raped or something, usually raped. And I remember he fell asleep, and for 5 days I'd have to move him around when I had people in and out, because he was so sound asleep. And he trusted me that much. So, I mean, I remember that. You know, I remember, you know, that was, and he loved me, like a lot of these guys do. But, I mean, I had my chance with him. And then about 7 years ago, I got this phone call from the police in Portland. He had used my card, and he'd also used me as his emergency contact, where he had been murdered in a drug deal. He apparently tried to steal or cheat the guy of drugs, and they gave him an overdose of speed. Power pack, they call it. And then, in the end, what happens is I had his body cremated and scattered his ashes in the Pioneer Square where he skated. And I had a service down here, but I had to take the summer off. I could not. I went to L.A. Basically, it's only been the last couple of years that the grief finally subsided. And, I mean, he never really knew who I was. I mean, that was part of the agreement, the adoption was, until he was 21, and he wasn't 21. So I never violated that. I don't know if his parents, I couldn't take a chance of them suing me. And I felt at the time it was better to do it that way, because they had never told him he was adopted. But for me, the whole thing with Zach has been, it's always been a lot of guilt because of the way he was born. And then the guilt that I think I had in my mind this idea I could save him when I came out here and found him. And no matter what I did, I couldn't have saved him. Even if I'd raised him, who knows? I mean, whatever happened, happened. But to me, he's always been a reminder that I can't save people, that that's comes from within themselves and my hope in God helping them. And I think for me, the other aspect was about 3 years ago, I received a phone call from the hospital here. And there was a guy who was dying to ask for me to hear his confession. And I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of his name. But he requested me in particular. And he was the person who had killed Zach. He wanted to tell me that. I remember I became like I drifted out of my body, like I was another person when he started telling me what had happened. I mean, the details was very painful. I mean, it's the whole description of how he died. And I think what I remember most was this guy's pain and his fear of death and his fear of what was going to happen, as he told me not only about Zach, but a lot of other things. And at that time, I thought my anger just went. I thought all I could do is hear his confession, give him the last rites, and then I buried him. I paid for his funeral. The thing with Zach would have eaten me up. I think that was probably the most healing moments for me. He put a face on what happened to him. And I think at the time, for some reason, whatever anger I had seemed to let go, and I realized that, you know, I was a priest, and that's what I do. But more importantly is that when you know some, get to know someone, you realize they're both victims, and they're also victimizers. And I don't think house people see that. They have in their minds they want the streets clean and don't realize they're dealing with human beings. I see the very worst in people here. I see evil face to face. I've seen people murdered. I've seen people brutally raped. I've heard the worst stories. And yet, on the other hand, I experienced the best. And I mean, I think that's part of the mystery of life. There's no answers to why good happens or bad happens. And that I can find both the good and the bad in anyone. I mean, that's one of my gifts, is I will see what I call the face of Jesus in each person I meet, even when they've been violent towards me, even when they killed my son. And I think that's what, you know, that's basically what I've learned.